Might have the some of the kids come up the front, because we've got a very special thing that's going to happen in a minute, and I'm sure you'll all want to be. It's very dark up here. Sure, you'll all want to be up up close to the front so you can see what's happening. So, kids, come up the front, because we've got a special, a very important question to ask today, and we've got a special guest who's going to help us to understand a bit about what they think the answer to the question is, and I'm going to ask you the question, and then we're going to have a think about that. And we've got some special things to do. I hope I've got some good readers up the front. Are you guys good readers? No? Sort of? Maybe? Okay. Well, let's have a go. We'll have a go at this today. But the question we're going to have a look at today is who will we find in God's kingdom? God's got a big kingdom, and it has lots of people in his kingdom. People who belong to the king, but who will we find in God's kingdom? Now, that's a question we're going to think about. Don't answer it yet. Don't answer it yet, because you might spoil my whole talk if you answer it straight away. Who will we find in God's kingdom? Now, Jesus told two stories, and we just heard the first story read to us about who we will find in God's kingdom. We know what God's kingdom is. It's God's people who are living in God's special place, living under God's rule. They're doing what God says. What sort of people are in God's family? What did Jesus say? Because someone might say, I'm in God's family, but how do we know if they really are? Now, we're going to meet a man today. We're going to do Skype. Who knows what Skype is? You ever done Skype? It's where you talk to someone. Carolyn's done Skype. It's where you talk to someone on the computer. You can see their face on the computer and you can hear what they're saying and they can hear what you're saying. Well, we're going to talk to a man on Skype today, and this is him. This is just a photo of him. His name's Jonathan, and he's what they call a chief priest in the temple, and he lived 2,000 years ago. So we're going to go back 2,000 years in time and Skype Jonathan, who's a chief priest in the temple. How cool is that? You're scared? Well, no, don't be scared. And we've got lots of questions to ask him. So while we're waiting for the computer to warm up and the Skype to come on, I've got a few questions here. So I'm going to hand out these questions to some of the older kids. Yeah, you can have one, Ben. Whoops. Wait, can you have that one, Sarah? There you go. You have that one. Meg? Yep. And you two boys in the middle. Okay. We've got lots of questions for, but let's see if we can get him on Skype. Oh, there he is. He's on Skype. So we can see him and we can talk to him. But it looks like the picture's frozen a bit. So maybe we won't be able to see him talking. We'll just have to listen to his voice. And, we've got lots of questions. So who's got question number one? Come up the front. You got question number one, Ben. Come up the front and speak in the microphone. And let's see if we, Jonathan, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, there we go. 2,000 years ago and he's still there talking to us today. How cool is that? Jonathan, the chief priest, all the way from Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Well, Jonathan, I hope the weather's nice where you are. Is it nice where you are?
A bit cold.
A bit cold over there? Okay. In the northern hemisphere, I suppose. Jonathan, we've got some kids here who are going to ask you some questions. Do you think you'll be able to answer the questions?
We'll give it a go.
Okay, let's see what Jonathan's got to say. Here's some questions. We're going to ask him what a chief priest is and what that means. Here we go. Question one.
What do you do?
Well, I'm in charge of worship. I ask people how to worship God the right way.
Okay, in charge of worship in the temple, tells people how to worship God the right way. Who's got question number two? Meg.
How do you help people?
Well, when people come to Christ, I tell them where they need to go and where to sit or stand.
Oh,
when people come to make sacrifices, I make sure the animals are good.
Oh, so when they pray, you've got to tell them what to do. When they bring sacrifices, he's got to check out the animals to make sure they're good enough. All right, who's got question number three? Olivia.
How good do the animals have to be?
The animals have to be perfect. spots or marks or deformities. We only give God the absolute best ones.
Okay, who heard what he said there? How good do the animals have to be? The best ones, the perfect ones. No spots or dots or marks. Yeah, all those sorts of things. You can't have those. You've got to give God the best. Okay, what's about question four? Charlie.
What if someone came with an animal that was not perfect?
Then they would have to buy a much better one
from us. Oh, so they sell animals just in case you don't have a perfect one. I wonder how much they charge. Do you think they charge a lot of money? I think they would, yeah. I think they charge heaps of money. Question five.
What do you do if someone doesn't worship God the right way?
I tell them they did the wrong thing. And I tell them that they better do it right next time.
Oh.
I would tell them that sinners can't come to God's temple.
Okay, so he tells people if they're doing the wrong thing and if they're sinners, they can't come in. That's a bit of a tough job. Okay, last question. Sarah.
How do you know what is right and wrong?
We make the rules around here. We tell people what the Bible means. If people want to know what God thinks, they need to come to us.
Okay, so that's Jonathan's job. He tells people what God thinks. They can't think for themselves. They've just got to listen to him because he makes the rules. Jonathan sounds like a pretty strict sort of guy, doesn't he? Pretty hard. Well, I think Jonathan thinks he belongs to God's kingdom, you know? I think he thinks he's in charge of God's kingdom. What do you think? He thinks he's in charge of God's kingdom. Well, one day, kids, Jesus was talking to a bunch of chief priests like Jonathan. He's talking to a whole bunch of them. And he said, I've got a story to tell you. Because Jesus knew that he told them they were doing things the wrong way. Jesus told them they'd stopped listening to God and they'd stopped obeying God. And Jesus told them that they were making up their own rules. So he told them a story, and it's a story that goes like this. There was once a man who had two sons. A father who had two sons. And this man owned a vineyard. Now, what's a vineyard? Anyone want to have a guess what a vineyard is? Yep. Where they grow berries, or what's another word for those up on the screen? Those ones up there. Can you see in the picture? What are they? Leaves? Yeah, there's lots of leaves there. Grapes? Yeah, there's grapes too. Okay, so in a vineyard they grow grapes, don't they? And this man had two sons. What do you think he's going to make them do? Yeah? Pick the grapes and make the wine. There's lots of jobs to do in the vineyard. You've got to pick the grapes and you've got to spray for the bugs and you've got to make sure there's no weeds and you've got to make the wine out of the grapes. So there's lots of jobs to do. And this father said to his first son, he said, go and work in the vineyard today. And I don't know if you heard the story before when we had it read. Who knows what the first son said when the father said, go and work in the vineyard today? What did he say? He said, no, I'm not going there. No way. I've got lots of other things to do. I'm not going to go and work in the vineyard. But you know what? Later on, he thought about it. And he thought, hang on, my dad really loves me. And he's taking care of me. And I probably should do the jobs that he asked me to do. So he went and he worked in the vineyard. He picked the grapes and he sprayed the weeds and he squashed the bugs and did all those sorts of things in the vineyard. So that was the first son. And then the dad said to the second son, go and work in the vineyard today. What did the second son say? Who else can ever guess? Meg. He said, yes, sir, I will. I will go and work in the vineyard today. But what happened? He disappeared. And no one ever saw him that day. They didn't know where he went. He didn't go to the vineyard. Maybe he went into his room and played on a PlayStation. Or maybe he went to his friend's house. Or maybe he decided to pick the fluff out of his belly button or something like that. But whatever he decided to do, he didn't go to the vineyard to do the work that his dad told him to do, even though he said yes. So get it? The first one said no, but he went and did the work. The second one said yes, but then he disappeared. And Jesus asked this question. He said, which of the two sons did what his father wanted? Which of those two sons did what the father wanted him to do? The father said, go and work in the vineyard. Which of those two sons did what his father wanted him to do? The one who picked the berries and the grapes. That's right. The first son, even though he said no, he still went and worked in the vineyard. You know what? Those two sons are like two types of people. The first son was like those people who used to be what Jesus said. They're like these people who used to be tax collectors and prostitutes. Now, I would explain that to you, but I'm sure you'd prefer Dad to explain to you what a tax collector and a prostitute is. So when you go home, that's the question you've got to ask Dad. What's a tax collector and what's a prostitute? And he can explain that to you. But they were people that people thought were really bad, and they were sinners. And they wouldn't be allowed in the temple, and the chief priests wouldn't let them go to the temple because they were really naughty. They'd said no to God. They were the chief sinners. But you know what? They heard John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, stop, you're going the wrong way. You're walking away from God. You've got to stop, and you've got to turn your life around, and you've got to obey God. And they heard John the Baptist. And when they heard John the Baptist say, stop, turn your life around, they stopped and they turned their life around and they went Jesus' way. Now, the second son, that's like people who say, I belong to God, but then they don't obey him and don't follow the rules that he's given them. They do their own thing. They heard John the Baptist say, stop, turn around, and they just kept going their own way. And so Jesus said, you know what? The tax collectors and the prostitutes are getting into heaven before you. They're getting in before the chief priests. Now, Jonathan, how do you feel about what God said? Jonathan? Jonathan? I think he's hung up. He's still there? Ah, good. Jonathan, how do you feel about what God said, that Jesus said?
I don't believe that's correct.
You don't believe it's correct? Why not?
I don't believe it's correct.
Oh, he says he makes the rules, not Jesus. Okay, and I think, oh, he's hung up on us. Look, he doesn't want to talk to us anymore about what Jesus said. Okay, so what we've got to do out of this, we've got to stop and turn around and go God's way, because if we don't, we'll be like the second son who says, yes, God, I'm one of your people, but then we never do what he says. We never listen to him. So we're going to practice this. Everyone's going to stand up, and we're going to start walking. Ah, stop. Wait. When I say go, we're going to start walking that way. And that's going to be pretending we're walking away from God. Okay, walking that way. And then I'm going to say stop, and I'm going to say turn around, and then I'm going to say walk this way, because that's what we need to do in life. We need to stop going the wrong way, we need to turn our lives around, and we need to start walking God's way. So everyone ready? When I say go, heading down that way. Are you ready? Go. Walking. Good marching up the front there. Stop! Turn. Walk this way. Oh, very good. Okay, the kids can do it. I wonder if adults can do it, because, you know, it's really hard for adults to stop things they've been doing for years and to start obeying God. And so maybe adults aren't quite as good at this. So all the adults, stand up where you are. I'm going to get you face the back and walk on the spot. When I say go, wait for it. Walking on the spot, then I'm going to say stop, turn, walk this way. Ready? Mr. Breno, turn around. Yes. Take your time. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Walking, go. Walking. Stop! Turn! Walk this way. Ah, look, they did it. Give the adults a big clap. Yep. Okay, you can all sit down. Because that's what it's like to belong to God's kingdom. We asked the question before, who belongs to God's kingdom? And the answer is people, this answer in this story is people who stop going the wrong way, who turn around and start going God's way. Because if you keep going that way, you're just going your own way. You're going away from God. But you've got to stop. What's next? Turn and walk this way. Thank you very much, Angus. You're right on top of it. We've got to stop going the wrong way, turn and walk this way. Let's all say that together. You ready? Stop, turn, walk this way. Very good. You guys have learned it. That's what we've got to do because that's what Jesus said we've got to do. Let me pray for us. Right, yeah. Let's close our eyes so we can think about God. Dear God, we thank you that Jesus came to show us the right way, that John the Baptist and others said we had to stop and turn our lives around and go your way. And we thank you that as we do that, we can know that we belong to your kingdom because we're following the Lord Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I do need the kids back up the front because I've got a few things for you to do in this part of the talk as well. And we've been asking the question, who will we find in God's kingdom? Come and have a seat up the front. Who will we find in God's kingdom? And the first part of our Bible reading said, people who repent and believe, people who stop, who turn, and who follow Jesus. Stop going the wrong way, turn around, and follow Jesus going the right way. They're the sort of people we're going to find in God's kingdom. But did you hear the story that Mrs. Butterworth just read just then. It was a story about some invitations to a wedding. And Jesus said, you know who's going to be in God's kingdom? Who will find in God's kingdom? People who say yes to the invitation and who come. Now, we got a wedding invitation a couple of weeks ago. Have a look at this wedding invitation that I got in the mail. It's pretty cool. Like it's got, I don't know, what's this, Hessian and stuff, Hessian and lace on the front. That's the theme of the wedding, apparently. Natasha said, you've got to wear clothes that are the colour of the, oh, what's that? Oh, the bridesmaids are wearing clothes the colour of the invitation. So the bridesmaids are going to be wearing Hessian. we'll see about that one. Anyway, but we got this wedding invitation and it tells me lots of things about the wedding, lots of things that I need to know. And it's even got a handy magnet on the back of it so that you can stick it straight onto your fridge. But it tells me lots of things. It tells me when the wedding's on. It's on the 2nd of May. So I know which day to go. If I go on the 1st of May, will I get to join in the wedding banquet? Because it's on the 2nd. If I go on the 4th of May, will I get to join in the wedding? No, because it's on the 2nd of May. Okay, so it tells me which day I've got to go. It also tells me what time it starts. It starts at 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon. If I go at 10 o'clock in the morning, am I going to get to join in the wedding? No, because it was not on yet. If I go at 12 o'clock that night, am I going to get to join in the wedding? No, because it'll all be over. So it tells me what day, what time. Guess what? It even tells me what I've got to wear. It says dress, semi-formal. I've got to wear a dress and it's got to be semi-formal. I don't know about going to this wedding. Anyway, it tells me what I've got to wear if I want to go to the wedding. And then, guess what? It tells me even what I've got to take. And it says, don't bother bringing a present. It says, we just want you to come to our wedding. You don't have to bring a present. I said, you beauty, we're going to this wedding. And then Tash said, we've got to take a present anyway. I said, well, why? It says we don't have to take a present. No, we have to take a present. So we're going to take a present. And then it gives me directions how to get there. It tells you what roads to travel on, where you can stay. It tells me everything I need to know if I'm going to this wedding. Everything I need to know. If I ignored that invitation, would I get to go to the wedding? No, I wouldn't, would I? But guess what? Jesus said that God has given us a big invitation. And some people ignored it. Some people said, I'm not going. Have you ever been invited to a wedding? Put your hand up. Have you been invited to a wedding? Yeah, a few people have been invited to a wedding. That's exciting, isn't it? Weddings are fun, good to go to, really exciting. And so Jesus said, it's like this with his kingdom. He said there was a king whose son was getting married. And the king sent out servants. But when he sent out servants to give out the invitations, some people said, no, I'm not coming. And so he sent out some more servants and he said, go and tell those people who I sent invitations to that everything's ready. The barbecue's fired up, the meat's all cut up and ready to cook, and it's time to go. So I need someone to take this to Mr. Rapp. Who knows Mr. Rapp? Do you? Okay, he's the bloke with his hand up, big bald head bloke down the back there. Okay, and he's going to put his hand up so that you can find him. There he is. Can you see him? Put your hand up high, Mr. Rapp. Over the other side. No, not that bald-headed bloke, the other bald-headed bloke. And you've got to tell him, the wedding's on, it's time to come. Did you hear what he said? You might have said it again because it was a bit too soft. Is he going to come to the wedding? Why not? He's too busy. He said, go and find someone else. All right, well, let's go and find someone else. Someone take this to Mr. Hiscock, please. Right down the back with his hand up in the air. He's got hair. It's changed colour, though. Okay, tell Mr. Hiscock it's time and he's got to come. What? Is he going to come to the wedding? Why not? He's got important work to do. And he can't, he says he's not going to come. Well, we better find someone else. Can you take this to Mr. Thompson? He's just sitting just here with a Trust Me shirt with a crocodile on it. Mr. Thompson, it's time to go to the wedding. This farm isn't going to run by itself. He's going to stay and work on the farm instead of going to the wedding. What sort of crazy man is he? Well, that's what lots of people in Jesus' story said. No, I'm not coming. I've got business to do. I've got work to do. I've got to look after the farm. And they said, I'm not going to the wedding. And so the king got really angry. And you know what? Some of those people who the servants went to, grabbed the servants and they beat them up, and some of them even killed them. And so the king said, send the army. Those murderers need to be punished. And so he punished the murderers. Rightio. And then the king said, rightio, I've got all these invitations. Look at all these invitations. We've got lots of invitations and we've got no one who's coming to the wedding yet. So go and invite everyone that you can find. Here, take some invitations. Go and invite everyone you can find. Go. Off you go. Go and hand them out to everyone. And everyone's going to say yes. Everyone's going to say yes. Okay, we got that? You want some? You want an invitation? Just take one. Everyone else has got them, I think. You want to give that to Mum and Dad? Good work. Hand out the invitations. Make sure everyone gets one. You got more? There you go. One for you, one for you, one for you, one for you, one for you. Put your hand up if you don't have an invitation. Everyone got an invitation? Okay, come and sit down the front when you've delivered all the invitations. And you get to keep one for yourself because everyone can come to this wedding. There's one for you. Thank you. Good work. Thanks, servants. You've done a great job. Give me those ones. No, you can keep one for yourself. You need an invitation too. Rightio. Has everyone got an invitation? Who wants to go to the wedding? Yeah, lots of people going to go to the wedding. And that's in Jesus' story. He said, send out the servants to everyone you find. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad, just invite them along and they can all come to the wedding. And you know what? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people filled the wedding room. And there was people everywhere. Every seat was taken. And everyone was there. And everyone was dressed up and not looking nice for the wedding. And there was one man, Judah. Do you know who that was? No? There was one man who was different to everyone else. Did you hear in the story what was different about that man? There was one man who was different to everyone else, Charlie? He was wearing shaggy, baggy clothes, not wedding clothes. You see, he knew that if he went to the wedding, he had to dress up looking nice. But he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go in whatever clothes I want to do. What was he doing? He was doing his own thing, wasn't he? He was saying, I'm the boss. And he didn't listen to the invitation. And so the king said, right, you're out of here. Send him out because he can't come to the wedding because he's not listening to the invitation. Well, guess what, kids? God has given us an invitation. God has given everyone here an invitation. And he sent this invitation to us to celebrate his son, Jesus. Why would we celebrate Jesus? What's worth celebrating about Jesus? Yeah? Because he's the king. That's right. He's the one who God said is going to be the king. And the king died on the cross to save us from sin and to take us to heaven. Is that worth celebrating? Of course it is. Yeah. That's a great reason to celebrate. And so God has said, come and celebrate my son. He's the king of everything. He's the judge of everyone. And he's a kind and merciful savior. He has power over death. Do you know anyone else who's got power over death? There's no one except Jesus. So let's celebrate who Jesus is. Now, when we get the invitation, when you get your invitation from God, remember this. Nothing is more important than saying yes to that invitation. Nothing is more important. Doesn't matter whether you've got busy work to do or if you've got stuff to do on the farm. Nothing is more important than saying yes and going to God and obeying God's invitation. Nothing is more important than being in God's kingdom. Don't say no to God's great invitation because you'll miss out on the great celebration. God's given us an invitation. We've got to listen to the King. He's given us a great invitation. And he's given us an invitation to join him in heaven and celebrate his son. I wonder who we'll find in God's kingdom. Who do you think we'll find in God's kingdom? People who say no to God? No. People who say yes to God? Yeah, they're the people we're going to find in God's kingdom. People who say yes to his invitation. Do you want to be a guest at God's big party in heaven?
Yeah.
It's good. Let's all say yes. Let's pray and we'll say yes to God together. Father God, we thank you that you've given us a great invitation to your party in heaven to celebrate the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would help us never to say we're too busy or never to say there's more important things to do, but to always say yes and then to follow Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Rightio. You can take your invitations and go and show Mum and Dad.